Thanks, Russell, very much indeed. It would be great if you can keep 1 John, the first letter of John, chapter 5, open. We're looking at verses 1 to 13. And if you happen to be listening on the tape later on the website, then do please read the passage as we have just done. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we thank you so much again for the gift of your word to us, that you are God who speaks definitively, authoritatively, certainly through your word. And we ask, Father, that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to understand your word so that we might know more of who we are and what you plan for our lives. Father, so that we might live lives that are pleasing to you in every part. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is said that the first sign of madness is talking to yourself. I think that talking to yourself is actually the way to victory as a Christian. Or as John says in verses 4 and 5 of 1 John chapter 5 that we've just read, it's the way to conquer the world. Look at verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So three times in those two verses, John is saying, conquers the world, conquers the world, conquers the world. That's a picture of what we mean by victory, by maturity in the Christian life. And who is it who does that? The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And therefore, the question for us is, for you and for me, do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God all the time? Because one of the ways that we can reinforce that belief in ourselves is by speaking to ourselves, telling the word of God to ourselves, reminding ourselves of the truth. Yes, we come and hear it on Sundays, we can listen on the website, we can listen to talks on the radio, we can listen to stuff on the TV, of course we can. But we need to read out loud the scriptures. We need to be speaking God's word to ourselves so that we are reminded of the truth that Jesus is the Son of God and all that he has come to do. And we believe that all the time. Because frequently we are faced with scary and difficult situations. And I just wrote down a few as I was thinking about this and preparing for the sermon. But the workplace loudmouth, you know, the person that you work alongside, who's a bit of a bully, frankly, and they're quite loud in terms of what they say, and the workplace loudmouth is rubbishing Christian things. And at that point, yeah, you're tempted to crumple. You're tempted to doubt. Well, perhaps he is right after all. He's loud, he says lots. Maybe he's right. And suddenly at that point, do you see how doubt is getting in and fear is getting in? Or what about a tragedy happening to someone that you love? Can there really be a God if this person should die so unexpectedly or so untimely, or someone should be ill in a way out of the blue? A tragedy happens. Is God still God? And doubt and fear can come in. Or a tough diagnosis is given by the doctor, and the prognosis, according to her, is grim. Is God really there? When this person I love is suddenly being told that they're dying, or are facing that ourselves? Or a friend whom we hoped would become more than a friend stabs us in the back and betrays us to their friends. Relationships break down. A spouse takes up with someone else and abandons you and the children in very tough financial circumstances. Again and again, situations can arise which can be frightening, which can be causing us to doubt. And the question is, how do we cope with those things? How do we remain people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This great promise that's here in this passage that we've read about when we are people who believe, then we have eternal life. Well, one key action is to take in those situations is to speak life over ourselves by speaking the word of God out loud to ourselves. Every time when that sort of situation faces us, we have a choice. Am I going to yield to the fear and the doubt? Or am I going to continue to believe what God has said in his word? We're faced with that choice. Am I going to yield to that temptation? Am I going to obey God? All the time, we're making choices. We're confronted with a moment, with an opportunity to choose. Am I going to tell a lie or speak the truth? It's just how it is in life. Am I going to doubt or believe? Am I going to be full of fear or full of faith? That choice is one that we have regularly to make. And I'm suggesting that one of the things that can help us to be on the side of continuing to believe and not to doubt is to speak out loud God's word to ourselves, so that faith comes by hearing, and there is something about hearing God's word, even if we ourselves are speaking it. And I just, one of the best places to go in the scriptures, you'll all know, is to go to the Psalms. And as I was preparing, I just said, okay, Lord, help me. And I opened up the Psalms, and I got to Psalm 141 and verses 8 to 10. Let's turn back. Psalms are more or less in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 141 and verses 8 to 10, the end of the psalm. Again and again, you will know that the psalmist, sometimes David, sometimes other people, they're in tough and difficult situations. David was chased around all over the place by King Saul. He'd not done anything wrong, and he was chased by King Saul, and he was surrounded by enemies, and Saul was out to get him and kill him. And again, David is in really difficult circumstances and situations. We're just simply told that Psalm 141 is a psalm of David. We're not told what the situation was. But look to verse 8. He's in a toughish situation, obviously. And verse 8. But my eyes are turned towards you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Do not leave me defenseless. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me, and from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I alone escape. Do you see how what he's saying? He's got traps all round the enemy is trying to get him, setting snares like you would for vermin or for a rabbit or something that you're wanting to eat. You set a snare. So whichever way he goes, it's going to be dangerous. He's got to be really careful because his enemy is out to get him. But what does he say? Verse 8, my eyes are turned towards you. In you I seek refuge. So do you see how what he is doing, particularly as psalms were poems that were sung, he is speaking out loud God's word, and yes, turning it into a prayer in his tough situation. So I thought we would have one or two Mars bars questions, which is why I had to sneak off and get my Mars bars because I'd forgotten them. I haven't got any Mars bars. I've got Snickers bars and Rolos in today, so you can have gold or red, white or blue Snickers. I think they're all the same. What would be a favorite verse if you had, if you were just, you're in a tough situation, what's a favorite verse that you know by heart that you might want to say to yourself to encourage yourself? Roz?
Faith is the substance of things.
Can you remember the reference even?
No, I can't remember. Anybody? Things hope for, the evidence of things not seen.
Absolutely right. Anybody going to help her on the reference of the book of the Bible that comes from? Faith is the
substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
The faith, the great faith chapter on faith, Hebrews 11. John, you had a hand up.
My purpose, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord Jesus.
All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord Jesus. Absolutely right. Okay. Yessie, what have you got as your verse that would... all of the New Testament, please, would be pretty good, you know.
I lift up my eyes to the Lord. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Okay, my help comes from the Lord. I look up to the hills. Now, what psalm is that?
I think it's 121.
I think it's 121 as well. Anybody else got a... Vicky, what have you got?
I've got Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I often use that at funerals. I had a funeral on Friday. And it's worth just saying, I think that it might have been towards the end of his life, David. And he looks back over his life and he realizes the Lord God has cared for him and fed him and protected him and looked after him in just the same way that David as a young man had cared for and protected and fed and looked after his sheep. So he's able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Brilliant picture. Okay, Alicia.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. And what reference is that? I can't remember.
Psalm 27.
Okay. Newsy. Go on, go for it then. You can still have the sweetie. Psalm 27 is clearly a very good favorite thing. Okay. Joanne.
Romans 8:18. For I know the sufferings of this present time are not worth being compared to the glory that will be revealed.
Okay, Romans 8:18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be. I paraphrase slightly, but we're more or less right. Anybody else got a favorite? Lulin? The Lord's Prayer, simply. Our Father in heaven. Let me reach forward and grab one of those.
I will never leave you nor forsake you.
And the Lord's promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, something at the end of Hebrews, something that comes for Joshua in Joshua 2. So do you see how these things, it's worth having bits of scripture, whether you have them up on your mirror, whether you have them in calendars, whether you have them by heart is fantastic. So it doesn't matter if you don't remember the reference precisely. It doesn't matter if you get some of it a little bit wrong, because you're just encouraging yourself by being able to speak out the truth in the face of the lie that is coming your way. Speaking out God's word. Because the real question that this passage, 1 John 5, is asking us is, when push comes to shove, in other words, in a tough moment, do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? We've sung songs about every praise is due to God, and he's a good, good father. It's who he is, and he loves us. That's who I am. We've sung these great truths, which are easy to sing on a Sunday morning, with other people around, much more difficult when you get that really difficult phone call at midnight on a Friday night. It's a really difficult thing. When push comes to shove, when things are going are hard for us, do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, the world and the devil want us to say no. And we need to learn strategies so that in the midst of the temptation to doubt God or to fear the enemy, we reinforce our defenses. Because tragedy and difficulty and things to be frightened of will flood in. And the question is, are we going to be able to stand firm in who we are? Or are we going to fall over? Are we going to be those who go on believing? We need to establish strategies. And I'm simply suggesting that speaking the word of God out loud over ourselves is one key strategy. Because, as I say, every day we have this choice to make. Am I going to be a believer or am I going to be a denier? And you'll see that in the passage, if we've got this testimony that comes, God has said there is eternal life to be had in Jesus. That's God's testimony. If we deny that, we make God out to be a liar. we're denying what is the truth. Am I going to be an overcomer, or am I going to be someone who is overcome? And the key is the belief in the Word of God and obedience to it. It's very important that we see that the Bible, the New Testament, never allows us to say, well, I'm a believer, but it doesn't matter how I live. If I'm a believer, then I will obey God. And it doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, or that suddenly I'm not a believer when I sin. No, that's not the point. We come back to the foot of the cross and we say sorry for the sin and we're washed again with the blood of Christ in order that we can be forgiven and continue. But it's a heart attitude saying, I want to be obedient, as opposed to I want to be rebellious against God. And the mark of the fact that we are believers is that we want to be obedient. And John in particular has got this idea of obedience to God. Look at verse 2 in our passage, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. So loving the Lord your God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself, Jesus, his summary of the whole law of all of the Old Testament, that's to be our characteristic, our motivation. Our key is belief in the Word of God and obedience to it. And what John goes on to do is to speak of three things which testify that Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, it confirms the word that we have believed. And those things are there. You can read them in all of verses 6 to 11. He's talking about three things. Can anybody look at 6 to 11 and tell me what are the three things that testify together that Jesus is the Son of God? In verses 6 to 11, preferably somebody who hasn't had a sweetie yet this morning. What is in verses 6 to 11? What are the three things that Sarah Jane has not had a chocolate yet? Is she going to get one now? Just one of them?
Spirit
is one of them. Okay. Very good. Anybody? Water is another one. Very good. And blood. You can give it to your daughter, even if you... You can give it to a friend, then. Give it to a friend. There we go. Okay, so there are the three things of water and blood and spirit, which together are testifying that Jesus is the Son of God. What do you think water, what's he talking about, do you think? Well, I don't know, I'll have to ask the vicar. Sorry, Jane's already had, go for it, you've already had, someone who's not had a sweetie yet this morning. What do you think he might, why do we use water particularly in church? Baptism, yes. Why do you think baptism is celebrating that Jesus is the Son of God? Bits of movement, bits of... anybody think of a verse that might be helpful? Like, for instance, Mark. Have a look at Mark, chapter 1 and verse 11. Mark's Gospel, so Matthew, Mark in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 11. What happened at Jesus' baptism? This is a testimony to God. I've got hands coming. It's not terribly helpful on the tape to have hands coming down on top of your head. But the idea is there. Okay, so what happened at Jesus' baptism, according to Mark chapter 1 and verse 11? Someone's got to speak.
A voice came out. A voice said, this is my son, whom I am well pleased.
A voice came from heaven to say, this is my son, with him I am well pleased. So what's the water there... is the baptism, which is testifying to Jesus is God's Son. What about the blood? What do you think the blood refers to? The second testimony that is speaking about Jesus? The crucifixion, I think. Yeah, it must be. And if, for instance, you look back to 1 John and chapter 1, so a page back, and verse 7, If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's reminding us of the power of the blood of Christ, not just some sins, but all sin. And he is described as Jesus the Son. So the baptism, the water celebrates the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. He's with him, God is well pleased. The crucifixion is where he shed his blood, and it was the blood of the perfect man who is the Son of God, and it cleanses us from all sin. And then what was the third thing Sarah Jane reminded us? The third testimony is? The Spirit. And so if we think, for instance, what day do we celebrate when the Spirit was poured out on all believers? He was poured out on just a few in the Old Testament. Pentecost. I missed whoever it was. Sorry, you miss out. You get the honor and glory of answering the thing without getting a sweetie. So let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. No, I don't mean 16. I mean 36. Sorry. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. So the evidence of the testimony of the Spirit, what the Spirit says is to point to Jesus as being Lord, as being Messiah, as being the anointed one of God, who has come at his baptism to be affirmed as the Son of God. When he dies on the cross, he is the Son of God who is taking the punishment for the sins of all people. And the Holy Spirit is making that truth alive to us. So the three things together are testifying to encourage us to go on believing, even in the midst of difficulty, that Jesus is the Son of God, that God has sent him and affirmed that by water and blood and Spirit. And so if you come back to 1 John and to chapter 5 and look again at verse 9, John is writing, having spoken about the Spirit, the water, and the blood, these three agree. Verse 9, if we receive human testimony, now that must mean somebody else, some human being saying to us, well, he's not the Son of God. And of course, we come across that all the time. If over 50% of the people in this country say that they have no faith, no religion, nothing that they believe in, then they are by implication saying he's not the Son of God. Well, we don't even there is even a God. If you talk to Jewish people, as we were learning last week, Jews before they become believers in Jesus would say, no, he's not the Son of God. Muslims, that our big stumbling block for people who've been raised as Muslims is that Jesus is the Son of God. They can't get their heads around that until it's explained to them. Buddhists or Hindus or something, there are lots of gods, so there's no one God that's any greater. There are lots of people, human testimony, which denies that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 9, if we receive human testimony, implication that confuses us, it seems powerful, it seems strong, how can it be that Muslims, all the Muslims in the world, don't believe what we believe? Are we really right to believe what we believe? That's what human testimony is about. Second half of verse 9, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him out to be a liar, and so on. The testimony of God, the water, the blood, and the Spirit, is greater, and it confirms for us that Jesus is the Son of God. So we do need to reinforce our beliefs, because the world will batter at us. Satan will batter at us to try and make us stop believing. And then we will no longer seek to be obedient, we will no longer live differently, we will no longer have joy or any of the great delights of the Christian life. And the way, or one significant way, that we can go on as believers is through hearing the Word of God. And yes, of course, we can read the Word of God, but it's a good thing to read the Word of God out loud. It's a good thing to read the Word of God with your children out loud. It's a good thing to pray with your children and to pray in the Scriptures out loud. So that's why we have, when we have the prayer at the cross, for instance, we nearly always will have that we're praying in Scripture. We're praying the Word of God out loud. We're speaking the Word of God out loud. We actually have a chance to hear it because faith, the confidence that Jesus is the Son of God, through which we have eternal life, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Of course, we can hear it in our heads when we read it, but actually hearing it when it's spoken out loud can be something that is very important for us. And we need to speak out Scripture over ourselves, as well as just listen to sermons and talks and things on websites and whatever. So I've just got a challenge for you this week. Are you going to go forward as believers? Go forward in faith as people who believe all the time that Jesus is the Son of God. Second challenge, are you going to choose God's way in all things and situations, even when circumstances are difficult, that list of stuff that we thought about, whatever is causing you to go, I don't know that God is really there, I'm not sure that he loves me. Are you going to choose God's way in all things? Are you going to be obedient? Third, are you going to read the Bible aloud with authority, confident that it is God's word, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, things not yet seen? All the other verses that people have immediately when they think about it, they've got things. The Lord is my shepherd, that he's my light and my salvation. All of those things. And then fourthly, are you going to pray believing your tongue has the power to speak life? Life over yourself, life to others. So just those four things as a challenge. To go forward in faith, going on being a believer. To choose God's way in all things and situations. To read the Bible aloud with authority. And to pray, believing your tongue has the power to speak life. And therefore, to make the sort of resolution, really, that this week you will speak Scripture over yourself. And if you have the privilege of having children in your life, young people in your life, that you will speak Scripture over them. Younger brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, godchildren, grandchildren, whichever children you have any access to at all, and you have opportunity to say grace at a mealtime, to pray with them when they go to bed, whatever it is, to pray over your children, speaking Scripture over them, because you're speaking words of life. Look with me again at verse 12 in our reading. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. To know that you have eternal life. And therefore to be strengthened through that knowledge when the tough times come. I'm not going to crumple and roll up and fall over and be completely fruitless, because I know that I have life in the Son of God, and I know that he is raised from the dead, and I know that I am an Easter person. And the water of his baptism, the blood of his cross, and the spirit of Pentecost all point in that same direction. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, thank you so much for John and for his letter. Thank you for the wonderful gift that in this country these days, almost all of us can read. Almost all of us have the Bible, your word, the complete Bible, in our own language to be able to read it. And Father, thank you, therefore, that we can speak it out loud over ourselves. And I pray that you will continue to use the scripture in our lives, that we will speak your word and thereby be strengthened to go on as people who believe, to go on as people who are determined to obey, to go on as people who are prayerful. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.